You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is Wednesday, time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center.
The United Nations considers a war stopped even more important than a war won.
If our cities go down, in my opinion, our nation will go down.
You have to think about your dream and what you want to do.
All we were trying to do was just get music for all people.
Most people remember Coleman Alexander Young as the five-term mayor of Detroit. But 67 years ago this week, the hunt for communists came to Detroit and Coleman Young was in the spotlight. Rachel Clark of the Michigan History Center is here with us. And Rachel, this all happened when the House Un-American Activities Committee traveled from Washington to Detroit searching for communists in workplaces and in local government. So before we talk about Coleman Young before that committee, what was going on in the country that fired up this quest to find communists?
Well, it's the very beginning of the Cold War, and in August of 1949, the Soviets successfully test their first nuclear weapon. So fear is really fueling the search for communists throughout the country. People are afraid of Joseph Stalin and his communist regime.
In fact, I'm thinking of movies at the time. There was such a fear of atomic war and communists. There was a very popular radio drama with Dana Andrews, I Was a Communist for the FBI. So, yeah, so this was all inflamed. So here we are, February 28th, 1952, a full 2 years, right, before the infamous McCarthy hearings.
Yes.
Why were they in Detroit?
So they come to Detroit mostly looking for communist activity throughout the labor movement. And Detroit at that time is the center of labor, especially post-war production. So they head to Detroit and are looking into groups like the UAW, the CIO, searching for communists.
And why was Coleman Alexander Young called to testify before this committee?
After the war, he's heavily involved in the labor movement with, again, the UAW, the CIO, the National Negro Labor Council. And he's very outspoken about this discrimination in the labor industry. He's considered very radical. His work associates are caught in the attention of the House committee. And so he is called in to testify not only on his own activities, but the activities of his friends.
Who's questioning him? We're going to listen to how things started off, but who is it asking questions?
For the most part, it's a person named Frank Tavner. He is an attorney from Virginia, and he is chief counsel for the House committee from 1949 to the mid-1950s.
Okay, let's take a listen to how things started off.
But I desire to ask you the question which I have asked other witnesses. Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
I refuse to answer that question because relying upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment and in recognition of the fact that an answer to such a question before such a committee would be, in my opinion, a violation of my rights under the First Amendment. And further, since I have no purpose of being here as a stool pigeon, I am not prepared to give information on my associates or my political thoughts.
So that feisty, outspoken Coleman Young that many of us came to know after he became Detroit's mayor in 1974 was certainly on full display in 1952. How did the questioning proceed from that start, Rachel?
So after he is asked about his communist associations or activities, it goes on to basically Coleman Young in the most articulate way I think I've ever heard not answering anything. He pleads the Fifth, which any person who is called before the House Un-American Activities Committee is allowed to do. So he refuses to answer questions under the Fifth Amendment. And interestingly enough, in that last clip, you hear him also refuse under his First Amendment right and right of association. So Tavner, at this point, he had been through a lot of hearings. He was actually part of the Hollywood hearings, where scores of people in the entertainment industry lose their careers because of either their testimony or their refusal to testify. So Tavner had been at this for a while by this point, but Coleman Young is ready to go, and the questions continue about his activities and his associations, and he just absolutely refuses to answer anything.
And then it seems like he takes this quest for communism, you know, looking for communists, and he really kind of yanks it over to what is his interest. Let's listen to another clip, and then we'll talk about that.
We're here to find out the extent of communist activities in this area.
I'm here
you're
to testify.
You're in a position where you can help and aid, if you will. But the attitude you're taking certainly is not conducive to such an investigation.
I'm here to aid in any fight against un-American activities.
I consider
un-American activities those of the Klan, the denial of the right to vote of Negroes all over the South,
Do you consider the activities of the Communist Party as un-American?
I consider the activities of this committee, as it cites people for reputedly being communists, as an un-American activity.
So Coleman Young's like, let's talk about racial injustice. Forget this search for communists under every rock, right? He's like, let's talk about the fact you're not letting black people in the South vote.
He does. After the war, he's very active in pointing out discrimination in industry, in society. That's sort of one of the things that he really focuses on. And as anyone has ever been dressed down by Coleman Young knows, that when he wants to talk about something, he absolutely will. And when he doesn't want to talk about something, he absolutely won't. And he goes into the conversation about the rights of African Americans in America at that point. And later in the testimony, he actually makes comments about people on the committee being elected to their office because black Southerners are not allowed to vote or cannot vote easily. So he brings out the injustices that he sees in America and throws it back at the committee over and over again through his testimony, while he's also pleading the fifth on the question that he's being asked.
So this was, a very skillful performance and a very firmly rooted points of view in front of this committee.
He does. He truly believed in what he was saying and his rights. By that time, Coleman Young, you know, this is prior to the Coleman Young that a lot of people in Michigan remember, but he had been around. He'd been in the military. He had a pretty decent education growing up. He'd had a lot of life experiences, even by this point. He was still pretty young. And he really looks at this as not only an affront to all Americans, but sort of almost an insult to him at having to testify to be un-American to a group of people who sort of support other un-American activities in this country.
And ultimately, did those HUAC hearings in Detroit really result in finding any communists?
No. In the 40s and 50s, the Communist Party did exist in this country. It had been very popular in the 20s and 30s, pre-World War II. It wasn't seen as something un-American, necessarily. And by the 40s and 50s, because of what's going on in the Soviet Union, there is this fear-mongering going on. And there are people that still believe in that communist sort of ideal. But nothing is really found that's substantial at all, not only in this hearing, but in most of the hearings. It's very much a lot of people lose their livelihoods because they are either falsely accused or just refuse to testify.
As you've intimated, Rachel, refusing to answer questions from the House Un-American Activities Committee wound up ending the careers of many people. We can certainly point to people in Hollywood whose careers were completely derailed, but not Coleman Young. Why is that?
He didn't have a whole lot to lose at that point. He didn't have a career that was taking off. He was still working sort of not necessarily odd jobs, but he was working to make ends meet. He was working on projects that he believed in, but he didn't really have a quote unquote career trajectory that could be derailed by these hearings. So he had not a whole lot to lose by speaking his mind and refusing to testify.
And ultimately, what became of the House Un-American Activities Committee?
So in 1950, Joseph McCarthy gets involved in the hearings. And although he is not part of the committee, he makes these rampant, unfounded accusations that the committee found very difficult to control. So the committee's credibility is pretty much destroyed throughout the McCarthy hearings. And those are the ones that people really think about when they think of these House Un-American Activities Committee meetings or hearings. So by 1959, they've really lost their credibility. Harry Truman calls them the most un-American thing in the country. And then in the 60s, you get protests and riots at the hearings. And that, along with the changing political and cultural landscape, lead to the committee finally just being terminated by 1975.
Some fascinating history. Rachel Clark, Michigan History Center, taking us back 67 years to the testimony of Detroit's future mayor, Coleman A. Young, before a hearing of the House Un-American Activities Committee. Rachel, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was fun.